I will trust in thee. Psalm 56, 3. And 1 Peter 5, 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. 1 Peter 5, 7. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to James chapter 2, verse 24. James chapter 2, verse 24. You'll see James chapter 2, verse 24 on the screen before you. You'll also see it on the back of today's bulletin. So if you will, please, if you have difficulty seeing the verse from where you're sitting on the screen, if you will, go to the back of your bulletin, and there you'll find James chapter 2, verse 24. A magnificent verse, a verse that we need to study diligently. And we're going to do our best to understand what God is saying to us through this wonderful verse, James 2:24. God has given us a wonderful opportunity in life, and that is to grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. We've learned many years ago that God has given us a system to comprehend truth. That system we've chosen to call the grace system of comprehension. The grace system of comprehension. That just simply means that God, by His grace, has given us the means by which we can be in harmony and fellowship with Him. And while in harmony and in fellowship with Him and receiving the impartation and dissemination of God's Word, we have the ability then to comprehend and understand what is being said. We can take the things we're hearing and utilize and make application of those wonderful truths. And so that's the reason why we give a few moments at the beginning of any service so that we can be sure that as you bow your head and close your eyes, that you'll pray and that you'll admit your faults and failures and sins so that you can be cleansed of sin and filled with the Spirit. You'll be ready to receive what God has for us from His Word. In the light of what I've just said, may we bow for a moment of prayer, please. Father, we're thankful for that system that You've given us. We're not worthy of this wonderful procedure, and yet we're thankful that You've given us the truth in Your Word that says, if we confess our faults and failures and sins, that You're faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's what we do. We want to be sure that we're ready to receive the message that You have for us today. So many things for us to learn. Our lives on the earth are so short, and so while we're here, help us to utilize truth and make application of truth so that we can live a victorious, triumphant life. All of us are faced in life with many difficulties and burdens and tests and trials. And yet we know that as we face these tests and trials and difficulties in life, that You still want us to be victorious and triumphant. And so we pray that as we study today, that we'll be able to receive the things which will enable us to have this week, these coming days, a joyful, victorious, triumphant life. And we thank You for the provisions of Your grace. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. If you'll open your Bibles to James chapter 2, we'll begin our reading with verse 14. Read down through the end of the chapter. These are wonderful verses, and so let's look at them, please. James chapter 2, verse 14. What use is it, my brethren, if a man says he hath faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm, be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Verse 19, you believe that God is one. you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Now we go to James 2:21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. He was called the friend of God. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. That's verse 24, which is our verse for today. Verse 25, in the same way, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. On the screen and on the back of your bulletin, I'd like for you to take a good look at the verse that we have before us today. You see that by works, a man is justified, and not by faith only. I'm sure that you are aware that this is a verse that can so easily be misunderstood. If you take this verse out of its context, out of the entire second chapter of the book of James, you certainly will misunderstand what is being said here. Let me ask you, if you will, please, to look at the verse and pick out two verbs. One of those verbs is "you see," and the next verb is "justified." If you have a pencil or a pen in hand, I would encourage you to underline those two words, because we're going to analyze that for just a few moments and talk about it as we get ourselves into this magnificent passage of Scripture. It's amazing what we see in life, and it's amazing what we cannot see in life. Some people have the ability to see and appreciate and understand, comprehend. Other people in life, it just seems like they cannot see. They cannot understand. They cannot comprehend. They do not have the ability to comprehend what is being presented. And I call this the inability to see. I'm talking about two different things now. I'm talking about physical sight, and I'm talking about spiritual sight. Now, I'm saying to you that over the years, most of you, at one time or the other, may have had some difficulty with physical sight. I've had that, and perhaps you have. I'm not going to go into any details about my physical difficulties in sight, but I am aware of the fact that there are things that I do not have the ability to see. So I can say then that the condition under which I find myself gives me the inability to see certain things. But more important than physical ability to see is the ability to comprehend and see spiritually. What I've discovered is that in the original language there are two words that I understand for seeing. One is the word blepo, which is a word we use a lot of times, which emphasizes a blip with just a continual seeing along the way. But the word that is used here is so different. And I want you, if you will, to underline the word. It is the word H-O-R-A-Z-O. Horao. H-O-R-A-O. Excuse me. The word is a Greek word which means to have a long look. It's a word from which we get our English word horizon. You can go out, for instance, and take a look from one side to the other side. Even though you cannot see everything, you're able to see that there's a wide expanse between one side looking to the other side. That's the meaning of the word here, horao, H-O-R-A-O, from which we get our English word horizon, a long look. There is a verse of Scripture that we have before us now, which is this verse 24, that says in essence that if we have not been able to comprehend what has been presented in past days, we certainly will not be able to understand what we have in this verse. We cannot have a long look about faith and about works unless we have been able to see this verse in the context. In other words, see it as a part of an entire context, which simply means that if you take this verse out of its context and just look at it alone, you will not be able to comprehend the true meaning that is being presented here. The next thing that I want to present about the word horao, if you'll notice, it is a verb in the imperative mood, which says that it's a command. So God is saying to us that we need to take a long look, and we're commanded to do it. You cannot just look at one verse of Scripture and determine the entire meaning of what is being presented in that entire chapter or the entire context. You see that by works, then it goes on to say that a person, a man, is justified and not by faith only. Let's talk just a moment to look at that second verb. It is the verb dikaioo. It is a word which means justify, or it means to be made righteous. On the screen now, I'm going to put the word righteousness. Here we have various words. You're going to be able to see the word that is used here. For instance, you'll notice that the first word that I use under righteousness is dikaiosune, a beautiful word. We're not going to talk about that one now. But we're going to talk a little bit about where the word comes from. It comes from the first part of the word, which is D-I-K-E. And that word means to pay a penalty. And the way that that word is used is that it is a noun. And so we want to look at it for just a moment. It means to pay a penalty. Some years ago, you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. When you did that, as an unsaved individual, as a depraved individual, God worked a miracle in your life. God worked the miracle of regeneration. And the miracle of regeneration simply means that God did something very special for you and for me, and that is that He put in you, imputed into you, His righteousness. The Scripture reveals the fact that we don't have any righteousness of our own, because all of our righteousness is but filthy rags in God's sight, what the Bible says in the Old Testament. So what God has done for you and me is, when you believe, when you accepted Him, He imputed, He put into you righteousness. And there we have that noun, He paid a penalty. The next word, which is an adjective, is dikaios, which is D-I-K-A-I-O-S. Now that word means upright. It means just. This is exactly what God has done for you and me. When you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, even though you were depraved and you were a fallen creature, you were without hope, without God in this world, what did God do for you? God did something magnificent in your life, and that He made you just and right. He made you upright. And so there's the adjective that is used, dikaios. Now you can quickly see that the last word is the word that we have in our passage here. And it is a verb, and it is dikaioo, D-I-K-A-I-O-O. Aren't you folks very excited about learning all these Greek letters and learning these Greek words? I'm so happy that you are so excited about it, because it helps me to be excited that you're excited. And I can see you almost willing to jump up and down with your excitement. I can see that. But I want you to know that we come now to a word that is in our text. It is D-I-K-A-I-O-O. Now I'm going to remove this, and I'm going to put our verse back up here, and I want you to find that word. I'm sure that you've already been able to find it. It says, you see that by works a man is justified. And the way that that word is used is that it is not a present active imperative as we have up here in this first word of horao. It is now PPI, which means present passive indicative. Let's stop on that and let me explain it to you. The word is the one I've just pointed out. It is D-I-K-A-I-O-O. You've seen it. You saw it with all the other words, the noun, the adjective, and the verb. Now you see it, it's a verb. But I want to point out something, that when you see a verb in the active voice, it says the subject produces the action. When you see a verb in the passive voice, it says the subject receives the action. Now, the reason I say that to you is because I want you to understand that you did not produce the action to get righteousness, but you became the recipient of righteousness when God worked the miracle of regeneration in your life. That's the reason why it's important that I point out to you that this is not an active voice, this is a passive voice. Now, I also want you to notice that it's a present tense, passive voice, and the I stands for indicative mood. If it were S-U-B-J, it would be subjunctive mood, maybe so, maybe no. But this is I, which means indicative mood, which is the mood of reality, which says, without doubt, that when God worked the miracle of transformation in your life, it was real. So the I stands for the indicative mood, which is spelling out reality. God has worked a magnificent ministry in your life when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, if you understand that, you will have the ability to see. A lot of people do not have an understanding of the difference between faith and on the one hand and works on the other hand. And they get it all mixed up and they come to the conclusion that you have to work to be saved and you have to work to keep saved. And if you don't work enough, you're going to make a bad mistake and end up in the wrong place. And if you don't work to get saved, then you're not going to be saved. And so God didn't do a good job on you, and so He sponsored a flop, and so you're going to die and go to a place of eternal destruction. You see how foolish that is? So what you have to see is that we have to look at this word, dikaioō, and understand something about how many times the Apostle Paul uses the word and how many times James uses the word. Now, the reason that I've gotten you thus far, I want you to get to where I am now. I want you to go back, if you will, in your Bible to verse 17. I'm going to go back in my Bible to verse 17. I'm going to read it. Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. Now, that's verse 17. If you want to, out by the side of that, dead faith. Dead faith. All right, now if you will, please, let's go to verse 24. You see that a man is justified, that's our verse here, by works, and not by faith alone. So we have there an emphasis on something else. Let's look verse 19. You believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. Out by the side of verse 19, if you will, write demon faith or devil faith. I'm trying to identify three things. There's dead faith in verse 17. Verse 19, there's demon faith or devil faith. And then go down to verse 20 and says, but are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that by faith without works is useless? And so I put down by the side of that verse, useless faith. Now, I'm looking at this, and I want you to look at it with me also. Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. That's dead faith. If faith does not work through love, as Paul said, it is dead. When I go to verse 19, it says, you believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. And out by the side of that, I wrote demon or devil faith. There is a faith that even devils have, namely belief in right things, and yet they do not manifest belief in that faith. So therefore they are not justified. They're not saved. So it's called devil faith or demon faith. Now, devils can be orthodox, if you want to put it down, on an intellectual basis. But it doesn't mean that they believe and accept Jesus Christ as Savior. So I call that devil faith or demon faith. Then we go on to the next verse, and it says, "But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless?" Now, out by the side of that one, I put idle, ineffective, vain, empty faith. So when I look at these verses, I discover that there are three ways in this passage that James talks about faith to show that faith, he says, cannot in any way save or justify. It is faith that Paul would totally agree cannot justify. So the Apostle Paul is saying all through his writings that you cannot be justified by works. Dead faith, works. Demon faith, works. Useless faith, works. Now let me point out something that I mentioned just a few moments ago. When you go to James 2:21, this is the passage I was trying to refer to, and James chapter 2 verse 24, and James chapter 2 verse 25. So I'm going to take you now to those three verses of Scripture. Let's look at 2:21. It says, "Was not Abraham our father," underline the word, "justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son on the altar?" That's verse 21. Now go down to verse 24. You see, this is our verse for today. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. So that's the second one that's used. The third one is used in verse 25. "And in the same way was not Rahab the harlot also justified," there's the word again, "justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way." What's amazing to me is to be able to see that throughout the New Testament, in the writings of the Apostle Paul, the word dikaioō, which I've just pointed out to you, is used over and over and over again. But when you come to the book of James, you find that word used three times. The verses I just have given you, James 2:21, James 2:24, and James 2:25. Most of the New Testament usage of dikaioō are, as I just said, by the Apostle Paul. So it follows that in order to understand the biblical concept of justification, one would focus primarily on the writings of the Apostle Paul, because he uses this word over and over and over again. And I'm trying to lay a foundation, and I want you to hear this very carefully. If you'll go to Romans 3:24. Here's what it says. "Being justified by God as a gift through redemption, which comes by Jesus Christ." Romans 3:24. The word there, "being justified," emphasizes again what God does, and we are the recipients of His work. Just write Romans 3:24. Now write Romans 3:28. It says, "We maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law." In that passage of Scripture, Romans 3:28, the Apostle Paul is telling us very vividly, we're never saved by works, we're saved by God's grace through faith. In Romans chapter 4, verse 2, it says, "For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something about which to boast, but not before God." Clearly, the Apostle Paul is teaching us in Romans chapter 4, verse 2, that no person can be justified before God by his works. In Romans chapter 4, verse 2, now Romans 4, verse 5, "But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is reckoned as righteousness." That's Romans chapter 4, verse 5. If you'll go to Romans chapter 5, verse 1, you'll read, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what I'd like for you to do, since you were not able to get all these verses, let me repeat them. Romans 3:24, Romans 3:28, Romans 4:2, Romans 4:5, and Romans 5:1. These are just a few of many verses where the word justified, dikaioō, is used. What I'm trying to emphasize very vividly that some people do not have the ability to see, that when you come to the book of James, James uses this word only three times. In Romans, in James 2:21, James 2:24, and James 2:25. Now let me take you very quickly to another passage of Scripture. I'm trying to lay a foundation so that I can get you ready for some conclusions. In the book of Galatians, if you'll write Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Galatians 2, 16. I'm tempted, of course, to ask you to go to that passage, but I'd like to just read it to you. It says, and it's unique indeed, it says, "Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus." It goes on to say, "Even we have believed in Christ Jesus." Well, you know, the best thing for me to do is to ask you to go to the book of Galatians. All right. I can discover sometimes that if I'm having you to look at various passages of Scripture, it's better for you to eyeball it. So please do me a favor, and I'm giving you time. You have your Bibles there. Let's go to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16. You remember where Galatians is? Galatians chapter 2, giving you time to go there. Verse 16. "Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, through faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ, and not by works of the law, since by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." Now, do me a favor and help me. Have you found Galatians 2:16? First of all, do you have a Bible? Okay, thank you. Have you found Galatians 2:16? Thank you. I want you to see that in this verse of Scripture, there are three words translated justify. If you miss this, then you have the inability to see. It says, "Nevertheless, knowing that a man is justified." Let me stop with you and let you look at that word. It is the word that we have on the screen, the root word. The verb is, again, a present passive indicative verb, PPI. It's important to see that. If you'll notice, it says, "Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by works." And the PPI stands for present tense, passive voice, indicative mood. A person is not the recipient of salvation by works, is what it's saying in the original text, in the verb that you see on the screen, dikaioō. Then it says, "But through faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we may be justified." Now, let me stop on that word. It means at a point of time. At a point of time. Again, we have the passive voice. At a point of time, a person believes. At a point of time, God works the miracle of transformation. When God works the miracle of transformation, that person is the recipient of salvation that lasts throughout eternity. The passive voice. But stop with me. Don't go away from that. Let me show you that this particular verb is not in the indicative mood, which is the mood of reality. It is the mood that is subjunctive, which means potentiality. It means a person may or may not be the recipient of that kind of justification. If they do not accept Jesus Christ as Savior, if they are not born into God's kingdom, eventually they're going to die and go to a place of eternal destruction. That's what this verb says. It's not my interpretation. It is what the verb says. The reason why I point out these verbs to you is because of the reality and the power of those verbs in the original language. I just pointed out two things so far. The first, dikaioō, is a present passive indicative. The second one is an aorist passive subjunctive, entirely different. It's saying that a person could be justified, could be saved, could be born into God's kingdom. They may or may not be if they do not accept Jesus Christ as Savior. Are you able to see this? I'm trying to say to you that the sermon topic, the subject for today, is the inability to see. I had my eyes tested this past week. And I've already told you in the past that some years ago, shingles messed up my right eye. And so I do not have peripheral vision in this eye. And when that lady threw all those letters up on the screen, have you ever had that test? They threw all those letters up on the screen, and I couldn't see anything. And I said, do you have the letters up there? And she said, yes, sir. And I said, well, wait just a minute. I was looking through my bad eye. I had an inability to see physically. A lot of people have an inability to see spiritually. Tragic, sad. And I moved my head around and blinked my eye and my bad eye. And I said, oh, well, there I can see some letters up there now. I said, you know what I'm seeing you're doing? Some of you are doing your eyes now. You're getting yourself focused on the screen. My wife keeps telling me, you don't have that thing up there right. And then she tells me back on the back row, you can't see it anyway. So I don't know whether you can or cannot. If you can't see it from back there, look at the back of your bulletin. All I'm telling you is that I didn't have the ability to see. And it's tragic when people do not have the ability to see spiritually. And I'm pointing out that in this verse of Scripture, Galatians 2:16, the same word, dikaioō, the root word, is used three different times and used in three different ways. The first one is present passive indicative. The second one is aorist passive subjunctive. Now let me read on. Not by works of the law. Since by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And let me tell you what that is. A future passive indicative. See the difference? FPI. Boy, I tell you what, this blows my mind. It ought to blow yours, and I'm trying to help you see, because you may not be able to see unless I can explain it properly to you. Three words with the same root word. It's amazing to me to see how God has the word designed for us to be able to open our eyes spiritually and comprehend the truth of His Word. What justification means. Justification means that you and I could never, by anything we've done, any works that we've done, any good deeds that we've done, we could never lift ourselves up into God's presence. Don't depend upon yourself. Don't depend upon church membership. Don't depend upon some church ritual. Don't depend upon anything other than what God can do for you to take you to heaven. If you're trying to go some other way, you're going to miss it. And I'm telling you, upon the authority of God's Word, you'll never get to heaven unless you go the way the Bible says when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. I'm glad that the Lord is letting me get older. When I read these words, it's going to ring a bell for you. I enjoy Julie Andrews. I enjoy Sound of Music. I can see it over and over again. Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm wooden mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things. Now, just reading that does something for you, doesn't it? If you have any knowledge, it's sad that some young people don't even know about Sound of Music. We need to get that thing out and let people see it. It's nice. But let me read this to you. Botox and nose drops and needles for knitting. Walkers and handrails and new dental fittings. Bundles of magazines tied up in string. These are a few of my favorite things. Cadillacs and cataracts, hearing aids and glasses. Polydent and Fixident and false teeth and glasses. Pacemakers, golf carts, and porches with swings. These are a few of my favorite things. When the pipe leaks, when the bone creaks, when the knees go bad, I simply remember my favorite things, and then I don't feel so bad. Hot tea and crumpets and corn pads for bunions. No spicy hot food or food cooked with onions. Bathrobes and heating pads and hot meals they bring. There are a few of my favorite things. Back pain, confused brains, and no need for sinning. Thin bones and fractures and hair that is thinning. And we won't mention our short, shrunken frames. We will remember our favorite things. When the joint aches, when the hip breaks, when the eyes grow dim, then I remember the great life I had, and then I don't feel so bad. Some of you folks identify with that. Isn't it wonderful that God continues to work in your life and mine His magnificent miracles? The greatest miracle that ever took place in your life was when you accepted the gift of imputed righteousness. And that's the Greek word that's on the screen that we've studied today. I hope you're able to see. We don't want to emphasize the inability to see. We want to emphasize the ability to see. The ability to see what God has done and is doing with each one of us. Now, please be aware of the fact that when we move into the next session, we're going to deal into difficulties and tests and trials and troubles. What to do when we face the heartaches and burdens of life. So get ready for it during the break, will you please? May we bow for a moment of prayer. The closing moments of this service, designed specifically for those who hear the message by way of the internet. I'm aware of the fact that people hear these messages in various places around the world. And I want to say to you, if you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you could do it right now. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. It doesn't say hope so or maybe so. It doesn't say you won't know until you die. It says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. That means right now. So if you will trust Him, if you will accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, He will work that miracle of transformation. You'll become the recipient of imputed righteousness, God's righteousness. He'll work a miracle in your life, the greatest miracle that could ever be performed. I'd encourage you to trust Him now. Father, thank you so much for the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Mystery, the Lord of the universe. Christ our God, spilling His holy blood, bowing in anguish, His sacred head. Sing to Jesus, Lord of our shame, Lord of our sinful hearts, He is our great Redeemer. Sing to Jesus, honor His name, sing of His faithfulness, pouring His life. Sinful hearts, He is our great.